Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 119. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to say thank you for everyone who is tuning in so far. It'll be a great show today. Huge thank you to Bob for getting this one set up. We have Pura Vida Bitcoin from Costa Rica joining us. Guys, if you can hear me, I sent you an invite if you want to come up here. If that invite is not showing up correctly, you might just have to bounce out really quick and join back in, and then we can go ahead and get you to request to come up on stage. Space has been a little glitchy for the last couple of days, so I apologize. But I did send Elon a strongly worded email, so hopefully he responds back and gets his crap fixed. I know down here in Texas it's pretty cold. I hope everybody else is doing okay. But I do want to say good morning to Miss Penny and Death and Bitcoin, IT Iote, Miss L, Dr. Nick, Aaron, Mr. Bitcoin, Gen X Bitcoin. Let's see who else we have down there. BitCat, King Bateman, and AC. Good morning, good morning. Bob, how are you doing today?
Another great day to be alive, Coleman. And I don't know how you can't get pumped up with that intro music. It's a great way to start off every weekday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Excited to have Pura Vida Bitcoin here. Looks like just joined as speaker. I think Josh is on the handle. And so excited to chat with them today. I actually had the opportunity, I'll just kind of kick it off here, had the opportunity to meet with Josh in person a week ago today. I was in Costa Rica with my wife, and we got to enjoy the sunset and maybe a couple of margaritas. So thanks again, Josh, for being a good host, and looking forward to the conversation this morning.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it myself. Thank you for having me on. And it's so easy to be a host when you've got two incredible people coming down to hang out and drink margaritas. So it was such a blast, Bob.
Well, Josh, let's go ahead and start this off and tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into Bitcoin, and if you're originally from Costa Rica or you came down just for the warm weather and the beaches, and are you a surfer?
Great questions. I'll start with the easiest one first. I am not a surfer, but it is my aspiration to become a surfer. And I think I need to earn that title first, but we're still a ways off. I'm not originally from Costa Rica. I'm actually originally from South Africa and lost the accent because I spent most of my life in Canada. And I got into Bitcoin actually through my father. He sat me down one day and sat the whole family down and said, "This is the future. Like, you can look into it, but just take my word for it. It's going to be good." And I said, "That sounds good to me, Dad. I'm in." And in 2017, jumped all in. My whole family did. And we bought in at the $17,000 mark and watched that baby ride all the way down to $3,000. Looked at it, said, what did we just invest into? And when we read the white paper and saw the community, no, this is absolutely the future. And thank God that we got in at 17,000 and wrote it down. And so then since then, we've all been all in on Bitcoin. And in 2017, we started a business called BitRamp, which was just a way to get people in Canada in and out of Bitcoin through the Silver Guilds, which was a approved way by the Canadian government at a time that they really didn't love Bitcoin. We applied for a financier's license or financial entity's license, and that thing sat pending for 3 years. And when we spoke to a friend of ours in the office, said, everything you're doing is great and a good service and definitely love Bitcoin, but we cannot approve your license because as soon as we open the door to Bitcoin, we're in some serious trouble in Canada. That was kind of when COVID started rolling around, and we said, all right, if Bitcoin's not a future in Canada, our future isn't in Canada either. And so we ended up flying to Costa Rica. And when we arrived here, there was a little rumor going around of some guys starting a project in Uvita called Bitcoin Jungle. And so we as a family, ended up going to Bitcoin Jungle, getting really engrossed in the community. I met with the founders and yeah, just got super involved. And we said, we love what you're doing. And we want to take this not just for Uvita, but take it to the wider Costa Rican, the nation. And the founders were on board, and the community right before we were going to go take it, to the country, the community said, we'd really love to have Bitcoin Jungle still be an Uvita thing, and support Uvita. And so that we're like, that's a fantastic idea. Let's keep that support there. And so we ended up taking one of the founders with us, starting for Uvita Bitcoin up north in Tamarindo, and have these two little coexisting, beautiful communities in Costa Rica that are all on the same mission to, basically build the Bitcoin standard for Costa Rica.
So Josh, just, to maybe inform the audience and for folks that haven't been to Costa Rica, can you kind of give a little bit of the geography with Bitcoin Jungle, and Pura Vida and kind of where you guys are, covering?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in Costa Rica, everything is built around San Jose. It's in the center of the country, so it makes it really easy. And if you don't know where Costa Rica is, I don't blame you. I did not know where Costa Rica was until I landed in 2021. So it was a steep learning curve. But if you drive south from San Jose, about 3-4 hours, you will hit a place called Dominical or Uvita. And that is Bitcoin Jungle. And they've been working there since about 2021, 2020. And if you drive directly west from San Jose, you're going to hit the province of Guanacaste, and there's a little town called Tamarindo, which is a very much a tourist town, and then that whole coast is called the Gold Coast, and that's where Pura Vida Bitcoin is set up, kind of in Tamarindo, Potrero area, and it's about a, depending on the traffic, a 5-to-8-hour drive from San Jose.
I got a question for you. How close is that to Hakko?
Yeah, so Hakko is right in the middle of both of those locations. It makes it a very easy drive to connect with people all around the country, as we can get to Hakko in about 2 or 3 hours.
No, so I spent some time in Costa Rica back in 2018, and I have to say it was probably one of my most enjoyable trips we did with the family. It was a lot of fun. There's so much to do. It seemed very safe. Everybody was extremely friendly. The food was phenomenal. So I'm interested to see if it's still that way or if things changed a little bit, because I know COVID really just messed everything up. So if you can talk about a little bit of like that, if people are thinking about coming down to Costa Rica.
Absolutely. Yeah. The thing that drew us to Costa Rica was the Bitcoin. The thing that kept us here was the culture. And in COVID, we saw really some of the most exceptional people come out of the woodwork. Life got very expensive for everybody. There's definitely a shortage of food. But in the area like Tamarindo that we're living, there was communities like Upe that would coordinate funds from people to buy food and literally just go drive and give it to people as they're locked in their houses. And I think that that's the perfect testimony to the people of Costa Rica. Is they are laid back, they go with the flow, but when it comes down to it, they have each other's back and it's so community orientated. And it really is one of the most beautiful places on earth. You can drive to any beach and it's a completely different experience. The biodiversity here is mind blowing. And I wake up every day really in awe of where I'm living, which is fantastic. And then having the ability to go and interact with the locals and the people of Costa Rica and have them be open to us and building a future together with foreigners is so warming. So we really love Costa Rica. The traffic is a lot though. If you are coming to visit, there's quite a lot of tourist growth. So just be aware that there's a lot of traffic down here. So The saying in Costa Rica, so I should add this, there's a saying, it's Pura Vida. We named our business after it. And Pura Vida means pure life, but it actually means so many things. And it really is a mindset. And if you're coming to visit Costa Rica, you need to get in the Pura Vida mindset. It's slow, it's lovely, and there's no such thing as a rush. So get into the Pura Vida mindset.
Yeah, just anecdotally, the Pura Vida mindset, it's kind of funny. First traveled there with my wife last winter and actually met up with Josh's dad for the first time and got to hear all about Pura Vida. But there was a boat that actually, unfortunately, in the marina that got started on fire, and we got to see how they pulled it out into the ocean so it could burn down. And it was funny seeing all of the fire trucks and safety personnel and how slowly they moved to do anything about it. Fortunately, it was all good. But when I told Josh that story, he was like, oh, yeah, that's just, you know, it's kind of like island time. It's Pura Vida time.
100%. And it's like that with everything. If you want to rush and get some ice cream from the grocery store, that rush better be 30 minutes because maybe the cashier is talking to a friend, or maybe they want to talk to you and just hear how your day is going. And so there is no such thing as a rush, and that includes emergencies, for better or for worse, but I think sometimes for better.
Yeah, I would agree. So, Josh, tell us a little bit about your app and just how you guys deliver. Like, what is Pura Vida trying to do? Like, what are some of the steps that you guys are taking to promote Bitcoin and to help adoption?
Absolutely. So at Pura Vida Bitcoin, our goal is to create the infrastructure for Costa Rica to adopt the Bitcoin standard. And that's a lot of big words, but really we want the person living in Costa Rica to be able to live on Bitcoin, not have to worry about paying for dinner for their family or taxes or dealing with banks getting frozen. We want a seamless experience that's actually better than using fiat. And that's what our true north is Bitcoin in Costa Rica easier, cheaper, faster, and a better experience than fiat, colones, or dollars? And so that's what we're working for. And so Pura Vida Bitcoin started as a wallet. It was a fork of the Galois wallet, like Bitcoin Jungle and Bitcoin Beach. And we brought that to the community thinking, hey, this is exactly what you need. Now go forth and prosper. And the community said, guys, this is a great wallet, but we don't have anywhere to spend it. We don't know what to use it for. How am I meant to buy a house with it? All of that stuff. And so for the last 3 years, we keep taking products to the community and they say, this is fantastic, but it's not what we need. We need more. And so for us, the Lightning Wallet is the tip of the spear of everything that we offer. And we are trying to offer the complete package that includes the ability to buy and sell Bitcoin at any time at a ATM in Costa Rica for legal reasons. It's called a Bitcoin vending machine. Also, you need to be able to spend Bitcoin at a merchant. So we've built merchant services so merchants can accept Bitcoin and not have to worry about the complexity of it. We also offer OTC real estate services, and we're currently launching in the next couple of weeks a direct bank integration so that people in the next couple of weeks will be able to pay their taxes, pay their electricity bill, everything in Bitcoin. And already we've been testing it with some people in our community, and there's a significant amount of us that are already living on the Bitcoin standard. And so I'm sure I'm missing some things, but that's our offering right now. And what we're aiming towards is a complete financial solution on Bitcoin. I don't know if that makes sense or if I got lost in the weeds there, Bob. You'll have to let me know.
Yeah, no, that's a really great launching point. Before I continue, just wanted to remind everybody, if you do have questions, feel free to put them in the purple or blue pill in the bottom right. Or feel free to request to come up on stage. We'd love to have you guys come up and ask Josh some questions. So Josh, and also one more thing, retweet the space if you can. Love to get some more people in here as well. So Josh, along those lines, can you talk a little bit about merchant adoption and how you're trying to kind of, you have your app, that helps with people, you know, having a wallet and transacting, but then they need a place to spend it. Can you talk a little bit about merchant adoption and what you guys are doing there?
Absolutely. So merchant adoption is, in my opinion, one of the most important things in the continued development of Bitcoin. And it's also been one of our biggest roadblocks. So as you said, for Bitcoin, that there's some key value points of Bitcoin, one of it being a medium of exchange, store value, and I've just forgotten the third most important one. But when you go to medium of exchange, it's probably the one that's fallen the most behind in Bitcoin development. And especially in our area, we have a huge Bitcoin community. It's well over 400 people that are actively involved in Bitcoin in everyday life. And with that, there is probably 60 places that they can spend their Bitcoin. And so for us, we aren't interested in making money on this side of the business, but it's how do we get people to spend their Bitcoin in places that would already shop and support the local Bitcoin economy. And part of that has been why we've rolled out so slowly, is trying to figure out how to close the loop on that merchant adoption. Because if you are a merchant who's not into Bitcoin and you hear about this magical internet money and you have three people come by your store today that say, hey, do you accept Bitcoin? Like, no, but I'd love to learn about it. To go from not accepting Bitcoin to accepting Bitcoin and being comfortable with it is actually quite a huge leap. And we found with our education, it'll take a year to 2 years to educate somebody and get them comfortable in the Bitcoin space. And so part of our product offering is to close that gap of time for learning. And so we've based our merchant adoption around our Bitcoin vending machine. So a merchant can accept Bitcoin, and if they're not comfortable with it, they can go sell it for colones at the local ATM Bitcoin vending machine. But what we found is for those merchants that do accept Bitcoin, as soon as they accept it, they'll hold it for like a week, kind of forget about it. And then they'll make it their de facto payment system, which has been really incredible to watch. And in the last 2 or 3 months, we've done a lot of tours with other local Bitcoin communities to learn what they're doing effectively. And one of the things that they've said is you need locals to push locals into Bitcoin. And so we've hired a few salespeople, and every single day they're onboarding a new business. It's incredible. And it's just, I think part of it was the language barrier that I struggled with. But the more merchants we get in, the more people start trading with it, and the more comfortable other merchants are getting in adopting Bitcoin.
That's, I'll just say, like, just from being down there, man, I'm super impressed with, it seems more normalized now than ever down there. And so one of my questions actually related to that, just because, you know, if you ask people, you know, you still get the goofy look here and there, but there's a lot that will accept it. I did see some signs, especially in Tamarindo, you know, due to your guys' work. But one of my questions is, you know, it's a little different than the United States and Canada, as you know, related to the regulation. So can you talk a little bit about just the banking system, the currency down there, the colones, and how that kind of interoperates with the dollar and the Canadian dollar? And then like any of the struggles you face, whether it's, you know, the Canadians coming down there, the Americans, and then also, just like, yeah, the banking system and the regs, that you guys have to know about, as you're doing this Bitcoin stuff.
Absolutely. Regulation has been one of our biggest challenges in Costa Rica, but in a positive way almost. So it's very much a gray area. The government, so we've spoken with the Senate on a number of times and members of the government, and we actually proposed a few bills to the Senate. However, they've said their timeline on making a decision on Bitcoin is at least 5 years. That was 3 years ago. And we spoke with them again this year, and they said, no, we've got another 5 years because some cattle broke out and we don't know who the cattle belongs to. And this is the state of Costa Rica. The cattle is important, more important than Bitcoin, which I think is awesome. And so with that, the central bank actually came out with a ruling, which was very helpful, and they designated Bitcoin as quasi money. And so they said it's not money that's originated from Costa Rica. So we don't care about taxes on the capital gains taxes on Bitcoin. All we care about is when you transact with Bitcoin that you pay your sales tax. Or if you're selling a house, you pay your transfer tax, like all the normal taxes that are involved in a sale with colones, the local currency, needs to be accepted with Bitcoin. And So with that, it's made it really easy for us to start onboarding merchants and people with that clarity, saying, hey, the government's okay with it. It's actually saying, go and try it. And if this is positive, we'll start embracing it more. But the challenge with that is the government and the banks are on two different pages. And it's one of the biggest frustrations we have with Costa Rica is the government is in favor of the idea of freedom that Bitcoin brings. The banks are terrified of it. And so at every single stage that we've moved forward with Bitcoin adoption on a regulatory standpoint, the banks have shut us down. And so if you even mention Bitcoin to the banks, there's a good chance they'll freeze your bank account. And the ridiculous thing is this is not endorsed by the government. It's the banks taking control where they shouldn't have it. And we've spoken with the Senate and they're unhappy about it. And so this is an ongoing battle right now in Costa Rica. And so with that, the banking integrations have been one of the most difficult sticking points, but we've turned to connections within higher levels of government in Costa Rica and in El Salvador to help us with that, bridging that gap, which has been successful. And as we spoke about a little bit earlier, in the next few weeks, we'll be launching a service that'll be able to bring together the banking infrastructure. I don't know if that answered your question there, Bob.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we're going to kind of jump around on the questions. Thanks for covering that topic. We had a question earlier on from Chivas in the chat who said, how was the culture shock for everyone? Did you have children at the time of the move?
The culture shock was real. I did not have any children, but my sister did. She's got two sons and they love it for the freedom and running around barefoot. But for me, it definitely took a year or two to get used to the laid back lifestyle. I was ready to come and break down some doors and really be the Kool-Aid man for Bitcoin. And then I realized that nobody was interested in hearing what I had to say unless I came in a little bit more peacefully. And so the culture shock was very real, but it was fun. And now we're in the Peruvita mode. So I think Bob can attest to it. Like sometimes if the weather is nice, like it might take me a few hours to get back to a message because, you know, you just got to enjoy the nature, Peruvita.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, did you get my email about the space? No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for coming on. Hey, Infra, did you have a couple of questions? Maybe not yet. No, that's good. So Josh, just another thing that I wanted to cover is, you know, you're talking a little bit about culture, I think, and culture shock, but I think that what I noticed is just the community that's down there. And, so can you talk a little bit about the community you're building too? Like just aside from like merchant adoption, like talk about a little bit more about like the app and the, and people, and driving adoption through community.
Absolutely. It's probably the thing I'm most proud of is the community growth, especially in the last few months. So as I mentioned, in my opinion, it's a very large community. I don't know the exact numbers, but there's about 400 people that are actively involved in Bitcoin trading, buying, or using at merchants on a weekly basis. And those people have gone so far above me. So for the last, we've been operating for 3 years. In the first 2 years, it was myself and our team just going and door knocking and getting the good word of Bitcoin out there. And then the last 6 months, our community has taken that over. I have people coming in talking to me, being like, hey, I want to hand out cards about Bitcoin on the beach. Can you make me some resources that I can tell them the right things to get them onboarded? We have people planning guerrilla warfare tactics to get people into Bitcoin where they'll go to a local farmer's market and get like 10 Bitcoiners to go and just say, hey, if you accept Bitcoin, we will buy your a good portion of your stand. And if you don't accept Bitcoin, we're not interested. And they've been doing that for a couple of weeks. And when Bob was down here, I went to the farmer's market and there was three merchants that were accepting Bitcoin. And I was like, I've never spoken to you in my life. And this is one of the first times that I'm seeing somebody accept Bitcoin that we weren't directly involved with in the area. And so it's just getting more and more powerful. And the orange pilling is so real. We had somebody last week in Playa Grande, which is another little town in our area, say they want to take point on starting a circular economy in Playa Grande and start a Bitcoin meetup. And that was so exciting for me because I didn't know this person existed, but they were in our community and they were on fire about it. And so they just reached out to us like, hey, can we support them in their circular economy? And that was so exciting to me. And so going back to our app, really our app is just a tool for our community to use to engage with Bitcoin. And it's not, for us, that's not the product. That's just a tool. If somebody wants to use a different wallet, say Jungles, Wallet of Satoshi, we love that. Go do it. We just want to provide an ability for people to interact with Bitcoin. And we've built the rest of our products off of the Privita Bitcoin wallet. And so because of that, we've had a lot of people adopt that wallet in the area, but it interacts with every other Bitcoin system just the same.
Yeah, that's awesome. So obviously this is a Bitcoin space, Bitcoin only. But I did want you to talk a little bit about, and we're going to see legislation in the United States on this, but I want to talk to you a little bit about just being in Central America and the role that stablecoins play for your app and just how that intermixes with Bitcoin.
Absolutely. I feel like it's such a controversial topic at the moment, but I do see the benefit of stablecoins, especially in talking with the central or the circular economies and communities starting in Peru. They said they've gotten zero adoption from Bitcoin only, and all of their adoption has come from stablecoins. And it makes complete sense to me when you're just getting into this mindset or ethos shift that is Bitcoin. The biggest barrier to entry is seeing this price volatility go all over the place and saying, well, I don't know if I can buy my tacos tomorrow. If I accept this or if I buy it, what's the long-term future for my family? And I think while people are still getting comfortable with it, they can still enjoy all the benefits of the instant transactions on Lightning or the global network of Bitcoin with using stable sats. And so with that, we are still Bitcoin maximalists in the sense that we will only operate in Bitcoin. We support people that will do other cryptocurrencies, but it's just beyond our scope that we are Bitcoin only. So with that, we've integrated something called stable sats. It's not a stable coin. This is a financial tool on Bitcoin that allows you to lock the value of your Bitcoin to a dollar. And that will hold in perpetuity. But it still operates on the Bitcoin blockchain. You can still interact with other Lightning wallets and have all of the benefits of Bitcoin minus the increased valuation in terms of fiat dollars. And that's been a really incredible tool for us here, getting local adoption. Because now people, one of the issues in Costa Rica is the banking system is so corrupt and so broken. And we can get more into details about that. But the locals will go and wait 3 or 4 hours or a day waiting in the bank. Like there are such things as bank days in Costa Rica where you say, hey, I need to take a day off work and just go wait at the bank to maybe get cash. Maybe they'll release it to me, which is absolutely ridiculous. But now you can go accept that value or move that value into Bitcoin and then change it into stable sats, which is still Bitcoin. You can still interact with the Bitcoin community, the network, and go sell it at the machine, which doesn't have the ridiculous banking limits that are put on it, and really experience true financial freedom. And I think that's the goal of all of this is getting people into financial freedom, and whatever tool does that faster, if that's stable sats, if that's stable coin, if that's Bitcoin, whatever that is, that's what we will be pushing people into to get them into Bitcoin in the long term. Yeah,
that's great. I think it's good perspective for those in, you know, Canada and the United States, the problems that people face. And so do you want to talk a little bit more about the corruption in the banking system? Can you give us like details? Obviously, we've heard some of the pain points, right? Sitting at a bank an entire day just hoping you might get some service, is one thing, but are there other, is there other anecdotal evidence you can give us just so people understand, you know, why Bitcoin is so important in countries like Costa Rica?
Absolutely. And I think before diving into the corruption, I'll just rapid fire off some more pain points. One of them is the fees. For me to send a Venmo or a PayPal transfer equivalent costs me 5%. Like to pay rent for myself is 5% on top of whatever the rent is. It's absolutely ridiculous. Then to send a transfer bank to bank, that's a different fee. And there's cash withdrawal fees, which is a normal thing in the US. It's just in Costa Rica, the government and banks have not protected their people from high fees. And so for a merchant that has a credit card terminal, say they're using Visa to process transactions, that credit card fee can be anywhere from 2 to 5 to 7% on any given transaction. And then on top of that, the bank takes a 1 or 2% fee, depending on the bank, to process that transaction from the credit card company. And then if you want to withdraw it, there's a transfer fee and a cash withdrawal fee. We've done the math on some of our merchants. If they accept a dollar through a credit card machine, they're paying up to 15% in transaction fees, which is just criminal.
Not to stop you there, but and carry on with your thought here in a second, but just from experience being down there, I was always telling the merchant to charge me in colones because the exchange rate was also bad for me. So aside from them paying these exorbitant fees as a merchant to process a dollar transaction with a credit card, I'm also paying an exorbitant exchange rate due to the banks and how they have those exchange rates set up for dollars versus colones.
Exactly. And the banks will give out a recommended exchange rate, but there's still a premium on the spread. And you look at merchants, for the last 5 or 10 years, people have said, oh, make sure you accept US dollars because it's a better savings tool than the colone, which was true until COVID. And then colone, for no reason, started performing way better than the US dollar. And with that, a lot of people started losing their wealth. And they would accept US dollars and say, why am I accepting this, this paper money that every day I'm buying less? And so they would start charging a premium on US dollars. And so Bob, what you're doing is absolutely correct. They will charge you like 3 to 5% less for paying in colones versus US dollars. And don't get me wrong. I do love that the US dollar is down here. It makes it more convenient, especially for tourism. And just to have that interconnection between the US and Costa Rica is fantastic. It makes my life easier, but the fees are insane. And as you say, on the transfer fees, it's just built into everything. And yeah, with the, I continue with the pain points in the bank. You need the bank's permission to do anything that is not different in Canada or in the US. But for myself, I have a $4,000 monthly limit of what I can accept into my bank account. If I go above that $4,000 limit, they freeze my bank account and I need to go in and prove that I am not committing fraud, money laundering, or doing illegal activity. And as we say, the bank days are long. And so at any point, if somebody sends me $4,001 in a month, congratulations, my bank is frozen and I need to go take all of my corporate and personal documentation into the bank to prove that I'm a human and not doing illegal activities, which is absolutely insane, and not endorsed by the Costa Rican government. I think we need to make that clear. Everything that the banks are doing is banking control only and not government control. That separation is very big. They just control every transfer and watch pretty much everything a business or an individual is doing, which makes life down here difficult to say the least. But as we all know, I assume we're all Bitcoiners on this, this discussion here, but Bitcoin solves all of that. There's no permission needed. And there's no oversight. We've built that into every single one of our systems. I don't want to know what our users are doing. And there's been challenges with that. Like if people run into issues with the wallet or with our OTC network or something like that, it's very manual. And in fact, it's more likely that the user can solve it before our developers can solve it. But I love that freedom side of it. Like Bob, I will never know how much money you have in our system. I can never say yes or no to your transfers. That's the way Bitcoin should be. It's the same in our ATMs. Like we can't block a transaction. We can't stop anything. And we built that purposely so that if the government does adopt this Bitcoin standard, they will never be able to retroactively go into our systems and say, hey, this person's a Bitcoiner or you owe us this amount of taxes or whatever it's going on there. I believe that with Bitcoin comes choice. And as Bitcoiners, we need to preserve that choice at all costs. Thank you for attending my TED talk on that long rant there.
Yeah, that's really good. I think maybe this might be a good point, Coleman, if you want to talk about our sponsors, and then we can continue on peppering Josh with some more questions about Costa Rica and Pura Vida Bitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bob. I do want to say thank you to Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo, blacksheepammo.com. Punch plate. Guys and girls, I tell you this every day. If you have your seed phrase on a piece of paper, you're literally playing with fire. Go to punchplate.com, get a metal stamp plate for your seed phrase. Come on, secure that like your Bitcoin's worth 10 times what it is today. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training, paladintowertactics.com. And Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Use our code BTCVETS with an S, 5% off your order. Pay with Bitcoin, peer-to-peer. Additional 10% off, so potential for 15% off your order, solosatoshi.com. And last but not least, Bitcoin Alaska. I told you how much fun my family trip to Costa Rica was. I am telling you, Bitcoin Alaska is going to be just as fun. Alaska is absolutely gorgeous. There is going to be so many things planned for this conference. It is a family-friendly conference. Bring your kids, bring your spouse, bring your in-laws. Buy a one-way ticket, I am telling you. You're going to be hard-pressed to leave this place. July 5th and 6th, pre-conference activities take place on the 1st. Get there early. Go on the Whale Pass cruise. Go see the glacier. Go see the whales. The only whale pass you'll buy where you see whales, bitcoinalaska.org. And we have a link up in the nest. Secure your Bitcoin like it's 10 times what it is today. Go to coinkite.co with our link up in the nest. As soon as we can start getting a little bit more traction with that, we'll have our own unique discount code for everybody who wants to get a cold card hardware wallet. That's my go-to hardware wallet of choice. I think it is the best in the industry. So go check out the link in the nest. Bob, I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah, thanks, Coleman. Thanks to the sponsors. I wanted to mention this. Maybe it's a little bridge between the last sponsor, Cold Card, and Pura Vida Bitcoin. One of the topics that came up with Josh and I was that Cold Card does support BIP85. And just for the listener, BIP85 is pretty cool because you can actually derive a child private keys from your master private key, so to speak. And so I think that's a really cool feature. Josh, have you guys looked into that at all? Or like, can you tell us a little bit about how you guys, you know, don't give away all your secrets, but how you guys look at the security of your app and those types of things?
Absolutely, yeah. We love multi-sig, BIP85. I personally have not spent enough time diving deep into it. But our admin team is currently exploring all the rabbit holes of what's possible with it. And for us, multisig should be the industry standard on everything. There's just no better way to keep your funds safe, and not just from attacks or hacks, but also from yourself. Like if you ever were to get physically hurt or compromised, the fact that you aren't the only one in control of your wealth is so exciting. And so for us, with having a custodial wallet and having other people's funds in there, multisig is absolutely mandatory. There's no single point of failure. And I think going forward, BIP185 and multisig is absolutely the future. I don't know what you guys think about that, Coleman and Bob, but we're quite excited about it.
Yeah, good stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of times we don't focus enough on the realities of certain places or, you know, the risk that people are at, if you're, you know, public out there about Bitcoin. And so, you know, don't want to bring up, you know, too negative thoughts for people in Costa Rica, but I'm sure as a second, teetering on third world country, people have questions about like safety and security. So how, I felt pretty safe, honestly. Obviously I'm, not, going in places where, you know, it'd be a little bit more dangerous. I'm specifically trying to stay away from those places, but, tell us about the, how you live there every day. So tell us about how safe you feel and, you know, maybe just some of the precautions that you guys take.
Absolutely. There is absolutely danger in Costa Rica. It is a very safe place. And I think for everybody coming here as a tourist, like it is fantastic. And other than somebody breaking into my car in the last 3 years, I've never had any issues. And to be fair, when they broke into my car, there's a chance that I just left the car door open. So it's kind of my fault. But the dangers around here most of the time is just petty theft or, petty theft is your biggest one. However, recently there's been a couple issues, regarding Bitcoin and some more aggressive, attacks that have happened. One was in Santa Teresa, which I'm actually heading down to tomorrow to set up a Bitcoin vending machine and start helping the community down there. Where some tourists came, somehow people found out about their Bitcoin, and ended up mugging them on the side of the road. From my understanding, they only got their hot wallet and we don't know exactly how much is in there, but, usually that's going to be better than getting your seed phrases. And then up in, Tamarindo as well, there was an attack that seemed like a coordinated attack, where thieves knew how to get into cold storage. They knew about seed phrases and they knew that there could be multiple options, or steel plates or something like that. And, unfortunately this gentleman went through a particularly hard time. He didn't lose his entire stack. He was smart enough to have some precautions, which I'm sure we'll go into in a second here, but, he did end up leaving Costa Rica from that experience, which is absolutely valid. And so for our community, while it is big, it is on fire. We always stress the importance of anonymity, and just taking that next step. Part of the offering that we have as Pervy to Bitcoin is we will be the face of Bitcoin out here. And if something is going to go wrong and people get targeted for Bitcoin, they're going to come after us instead of our community, which our community is the most important thing to us. And so some of the precautions that we take is absolutely multi-sig. I think, as I said before, that is a non-negotiable. None of our wallets are, other than like our Pervy to personal wallets, have a single point of entry. It's always multi-sig. And on our Pura Vida wallets, our hot wallets that we're walking around with, we will never carry around our full stack, but it will always be enough to entice somebody if they're going to break in and steal our stuff. Like, I want you to leave me alone. Like, if you're going to come attack me, steal my Bitcoin, and then leave me forever, please. And with that, we all carry pepper spray. We have police batons in our cars, just in case nothing's ever happened, but we always take those next steps. And then with our meetups and everything, we try to be as as private as we can until we're like, hey, this is the location we're meeting at. And even with that, we're very cautious. And for a while after those attacks, we stopped meetups and just did everything online, just to be cautious. But that's the scene in Costa Rica. And I want to leave it on, it is very safe. It's just like anywhere else. There is bad actors. And thankfully, in the last few months, the police have really stepped up and paid more attention to our area of town, which is all you can ask for right now.
Yeah, Josh, I mean, you scared the crap out of me with that police baton you brought and your dog. So I know you have good protection. But on a more serious note, I think these are great conversations, not just for, you know, folks thinking about travel, but just, you know, in general for Bitcoiners, folks who are looking at self-custody, starting to think about how they want to do their setup. I can tell you personally, yeah, when I travel, you know, I'll have a hot wallet, And I actually was, I like to test things out. So, you know, I had maybe like $100 or so on Strike and just for travel. And, I also have the Pura Vida app. And so I was just testing out transferring between and then, paying a couple of merchants. And man, the Lightning Network is a pretty cool trick, right? Like it's such a different, experience from standard banking, whether you're, you know, used to the Canadian banking system, the United States banking system or elsewhere. Having a Lightning wallet where you can just move between pretty instantly, is pretty cool. Do you want to talk a little bit more about Lightning and the experience for, the users of Pura Vida Bitcoin and maybe the merchants?
Yeah, I mean, Lightning is the future. I love it. I'm very biased though, running a Lightning wallet. It's something magical about watching a transaction be sent from one device and could go across the world and land in another device instantaneously. And on our wallet, I think it's a Galois staple, but when the transaction is fulfilled, there's a big green check mark and it just pops up instantly and gives me that rush of endorphins that I never get tired of. And so we built that into all of our merchants as well, is all Lightning enabled. And I think for the future of Bitcoin, Lightning is mandatory. The on-chain transactions are so important for moving the larger amount of cash. But for the buying a coffee, I think Bitcoin needs Lightning. And for those of you who are in the Bitcoin nerd space, look into eCash and the third layer being built on top of Lightning. Those instant transactions that are safe are so, so exciting. And we've seen an uptick in adoption when we enable Lightning in a feature. So for example, with our ATMs, at first they were not Lightning enabled. And so we actually delayed the launch of the ATMs by about a year to build in Lightning capabilities. And then when we released them to the market, the adoption of those ATMs and the use case was absolutely incredible. And we, like, for example, we had the ATMs be paid off in 4 months, the first one that came through with the volume of transactions. And I believe that is entirely because of Lightning.
Sounds like your dog wanted it to go faster than 4 months.
Exactly. This is my guard dog at my feet right now. Yeah. He's a sleepy boy. But yeah, so anyway, the Lightning capabilities I think are so important, but I don't know what you guys think, if Lightning is going to be the future or if you think it's mandatory like I do. I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, and you know what? It might be fun to just get not an official audience poll, but down in that right purple pill, like if people want to throw in just what you guys think about Lightning. Like, is Lightning the future? Is it mandatory? Give us some comments down there because it'd be cool to hear what everybody that's listening to this thinks. Obviously, like, on-chain transactions right now are still pretty affordable. I'm looking here, 3 sats per V-byte, actually. So it's pretty incredible considering, you know, where we're at here in this cycle. But I think we all know, or at least those who have been in this for a while, we've seen spikes where there's competition for that block space, right? Bitcoin is charging along and adding blocks of transactions every 10 minutes. And in order to get your transaction included in the next block, you have to bid up the space when the mempool is full. And so we could see a future, especially as adoption occurs amongst states in the United States, you know, even countries, nation states, where that block space is going to be at a premium. And so I do think that the development personally of Lightning is a super important thing because you can definitely achieve that magic that we were kind of talking about where you can just send from one wallet to another across the world, so to speak, instantaneously. And it really is pretty incredible how quick the settlement is. But at the same time, the transactions are ultra cheap. Whereas, you know, in the future, we're going to have main chain transactions at quite the premium. So I do think merchant adoption and those types of folks who are trying to accept Bitcoin for especially smaller transactions like coffee, things that I was buying down there, need Lightning. So that's my personal thought. Coleman, Infra, you guys have any thoughts on Lightning adoption, merchants, those types of things?
Yeah, I'll go. I think Lightning is the future. I have it up in the nest. I just made no way to make a poll on here, but if you think Lightning's the future, go ahead and like the space or like that tweet. If you think that there's something else that's going to be the future on Bitcoin, go ahead and repost. And this way we can get a little poll going. But I agree with ITOD. I think it is the future. I think there's some hiccups though with scaling, like running your own node safely. But I do think it's the future. Like you said, Josh, sending it around the world instantaneously. And I mean instantaneously. If you've never done a Lightning transaction, you're missing out. Like the speed at which that transaction takes place is mind boggling. Like I barely look up from my phone to go see if the other person received it. And they're already looking back at me like I've got it. So it's just absolutely crazy. And again, it's peer to peer. That's what I love. I didn't have to get anyone's permission. I don't have to go to any banks. Again, once this catches on and people understand, it's unstoppable. So I do think it is going to be the future, and I'm really interested to see how Tether stablecoin built on top of this is going to work with it. I do think there's something there, like you said, Josh. I do think people want something a little bit more stable. Bitcoin price, it swings too much still. It's still too young, even at a $2 trillion asset. It's not mature enough yet. We need to start getting up to, I think, close to $10 trillion before it'll really start becoming something that's a little bit more stable. And having, you know, Tether on top of it is just only going to enhance that and speed up that.
And jumping in there, another thing to throw into the Lightning ring is for those Bitcoin nerds, UTXO management. Like Bob was saying, right now, fees are low. And so we don't really need to worry too much about UTXO management, but to be able to move your money onto a Lightning node or Lightning network and then clear all those UTXOs and throw it back into your cold storage is something that I've been doing. I don't know if it's the right thing to do, and I'd love your guys' opinions if you have any feedback on UTXO management for Lightning and on-chain. But that's been something that's been very helpful. When fees are low, clear those UTXOs and put it back into gold storage.
Yeah, I would agree. Right now is a great time. If you're looking to self-custody, take advantage of the cold card and get yourself one and learn how to use it. Watch some videos. We've had BTC sessions, Ben, on here a couple times. Great videos on YouTube, walkthroughs. You know, some of this stuff can be pretty technical for a lot of people, but it's not that hard when you have a great guy like Ben, walking you through and kind of showing you the ropes. And as a side benefit, as we're kind of talking about, the fees are really low. So there's no time like today, to get yourself one ordered and pull your Bitcoin off of an exchange, learn how to, self-custody, use a cold card. There's others for sure, but, they are one of the best. And with fees being so low, and you know, we talk about this stuff all the time. Hopefully most of you have formulated some idea on how you want to custody your stack. Kind of circling back to, you know, a lot of people say, well, why would you spend Bitcoin? And I think, you know, obviously you can spend and replace. The way I think about it is, you know, if you have a hot wallet with some sats on it for friends, paying for dinner, going on a trip, that's kind of, think of it kind of like your checking account, the Pura Vida app. think of it like a checking account, like what you would spend or like a debit card versus your Bitcoin stack, your primary savings. Think of it as a savings account. And how would you protect that? And one thing that Coleman always puts up in the nest every day that I think is super beneficial, and he kind of talked about it in his comments about Lightning, being, you know, and Bitcoin being a $10 trillion market cap, That's quite a rise in price of Bitcoin from where it is right now, right? About 4.5, 5 times. And so treat your Bitcoin like it's going to be 5, 10, 15 times what it is today, and start thinking about how you would want to self-custody that savings. If you just have it on, if you just have it on your, like a piece of paper, effectively, you know, whatever that number is, it looks like we lost Josh. But whatever that number is, you know, it's effectively like having that money under your mattress, right? So, it's important to take steps and think about that stuff today, on how you want to, change that. And I do see we have some things in the purple pill and Josh is back with us. Maybe some other people have some thoughts and comments on how to, how to custody your Bitcoin.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of people are agreeing that Lightning is the future. Some people, and I do agree, I think I agree with everybody on here, that right now Lightning is absolutely needed, but as Bitcoin evolves, we have no idea what's going to take place. So there might be something better that happens. But Lightning is definitely the next, it's the stepping stone to the next thing for Bitcoin. So Bob, if you don't mind, I got a question for Josh. We were speaking with, John yesterday with My First Bitcoin, and he was talking about the IMF coming in and how, El Salvador has kind of gone back on their Bitcoin, standard, and how they're taking a lot of things back. And he said that he's noticing a lot of merchants and people are just stopped using Bitcoin as a payment because it's no longer mandatory or enforced as a payment method. And I got to thinking about this yesterday, and I thought a lot about it, and I think I would equate this move as a proof of work and a proof of stake playbook, where Bukele has definitely done the proof of work. He's seen what Bitcoin can do. He's gone through, he's implemented it. He's made massive changes for his country in a positive way. And he used Bitcoin as that tool to do it. And then by making Bitcoin mandatory, and you know, everybody has to accept it in the country, he kind of imposed upon everybody a proof of stake. Bitcoin is the way we're going to use it, and you all just are going to accept it. Where the citizens didn't really do any work for the Bitcoin. They were just kind of gifted it. And so I think that's why we're seeing such a big pullback in Bitcoin adoption in El Salvador right now, because now that the citizens aren't forced to use it, they're going to go ahead and use something different because they don't know, they don't understand what it is. And eventually they'll start to understand when they see the merchants and the people that are continually using Bitcoin, their lives will improve. Things will get better. Things will be easier. And so I would be interested to see how, what you're doing, because you're obviously doing the proof of work. You're going out there. You're not forcing anybody to accept Bitcoin, but you're showing them the benefits. You're showing them how they can save on those merchant fees. Are you finding that once you start, you get that aha moment with these merchants and these customers and the people in these communities, do they ever kind of turn back and go to the old system?
It happens. And I think the first thing I want to say is Bitcoin is for anyone, but it's not for everyone. And so as much as we want to be pushing it to everybody and saying, hey, this is the solution, please just wake up and open your eyes. That isn't the case for everybody, and people have their own valid reasons. We've had merchants that the Bitcoin price went down. They were taking a bit of a gamble and it went down and they ended up having to take a personal loan. And that experience is something that's very disturbing for anybody that's first getting into Bitcoin. And so for like that person, they still accept Bitcoin, but as soon as they get it, they cash out, which isn't, in my opinion, that's not somebody that's adopted Bitcoin. And I 100% agree with you, Coleman, on the proof of work versus proof of stake. And I can't say enough good things about El Salvador, but specifically Bitcoin Berlin and El Zante, in that they have done the groundwork to get the grassroots adoption of Bitcoin. And you go to Bitcoin Berlin, there's still 150 merchants accepting Bitcoin. There's still 10,000 people in that community using Bitcoin on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't matter what the government says. They're pushing forward in their own way. And so we are absolutely trying to do the same thing, get that education moving forward, but it's not something that I can do by myself. And that's where the power of this community has been so exceptional. We've got partners like UPE and local businesses that are out there educating people on crypto and Bitcoin and trying to get them into the ecosystem. because we're just a team of 16 people. Some of us aren't even in Costa Rica. I can't have enough Bitcoin conversations. But now that we have our full community on board to educate people and get them to experience it, that's been incredible. But I'd also like to reference back to what I said in the beginning. In order to get Bitcoin adoption at scale, Bitcoin needs to be a better experience than fiat. That's a big ask. Somebody needs to wake up in the morning and say, I actively want to use Bitcoin because it's cheaper, faster, and easier than my bank, which I think in Costa Rica is a little bit easier to do than other places because the banks are actually the worst. But that, I think, needs to be seen in El Salvador as well. I think that was one of the sticking points when I went there. People were into Bitcoin, but it was still a bit difficult to use. I saw tweets yesterday about payment services going down. And that's not an El Salvador specific issue. That happens here as well. It happens all around the world. And so to your point, Coleman, I think we need to see that price stability reach as well for people to get comfortable in it. But then the infrastructure needs to be in place for people to be comfortable and not be scared. And even with that, if the fiat experience is ever better than Bitcoin, they should be able to transfer out if they want to and they're having a bad time. I think Bitcoin is an opt-in system. It's a protocol. You're in or you're out. And we just want to make it better than the other protocol, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So we're at the top of the hour. Bob, did you have any questions that you wanted to go ahead and ask before we start wrapping things up?
No, I just want to take a second though again and thank Josh for coming on. I hope the content that people are listening to and will listen to is valuable. It's pretty cool to be able to talk on this platform with people all over the world and hear about all the awesome projects that are going on, get perspective. And I'd encourage anybody, like, not to be a shill for the Orange Pill app, but I think, and I'm not sure on the adoption in Costa Rica, but I've used it all over the place and been able to meet up with some really cool people. So don't be afraid to build your own community through the Orange Pill app. It's pretty inexpensive and a great tool to get in touch with other Bitcoiners wherever you're at.
Absolutely. And if you guys are ever in Costa Rica, reach out to us on Twitter. I'll make sure we set up an Orange Pill community out there and we'd love to get you integrated or at least to experience what's going on down here. So that's an open door to anybody. Please come visit and say hi.
Well, that's perfect. So Josh, where's the best ways that we can send people to support you and what you're doing in Costa Rica?
If you can follow us on Twitter, we'll be updating everybody on here. We're launching a newsletter on the progress of Bitcoin in Costa Rica in the next month or two, and that'll all be released on Twitter. So just keep following us here, and I would love to thank you guys for having us on. We are just starting to go public with what we're doing, and so this was a very exciting and safe space, felt like, to be able to talk about what's going on. And so I would really love everybody to follow us and give us recommendations and feedback on this journey. This is a community and Bitcoin is for all of us to build. So we'd love your input as well.
So I think we have one last question. Coleman, if you'll allow me, I think I want to beat you to it. So Josh, we've been having this ongoing battle about Chile, and I know Chile is probably not that popular in Costa Rica, but when you have chili, do you have beans in it, or are you more of a Fritos guy?
Beans all the way. And I say that from my heart, but I also say that for Costa Rica, gallo pinto is the way to go, and beans are mandatory in Chile.
Josh, I was about to invite you back on the show, but now I'm extremely hesitant about this. If you can't make your chili right, man, I'm really questioning what you're doing down there. No, I'm joking. we need to get you back up here to Texas so Bob and I can make you some real chili. Honestly though, Bob or Josh, this was an amazing conversation. I think Costa Rica is an amazing place. If anybody gets a chance to go down, go down there. It's a really nice place. Like Josh said, it is safe. There's parts anywhere in the country where you can find that aren't safe. So same thing with Costa Rica. Just be smart about it. But I'm really, really happy to see what you're doing. And guys, Pure Vida on their handle, 198 followers. Let's everyone just really quick, just go click them, give them a follow right now, and let's get that up there and let's support what they're doing and what Josh is doing down there. So thank you so much, Josh, again, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Belloc. It's been such a pleasure. Cheers.
Cheers. So that's it. That was today's show. Bob, again, thank you so much for bringing Josh on. I really did enjoy it. The hours are just flying by. For those of you who are new to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, we do this every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So join in tomorrow. Tomorrow's just going to be kind of a free-for-all, Friday free-for-all, Friday Freedom Tech, however you want to put it. Just kind of recapping the week over any big news that might have happened and just kind of answering any questions that y'all have. So make sure you tune into that one. The biggest takeaway I got from having Josh up here is we all have a responsibility as Bitcoiners to go out and change our world, change their communities, change our friends and neighbors in a positive way. And if we want Bitcoin to get to that $10 trillion market cap where it becomes more stable and it's used every day, it starts with you. It starts with you just talking about it. We don't expect you to orange pill every single person you interact with, but just bring it up and make it relevant and then just start with your local community. And that's how we make this change. And that's what the Bitcoin Veterans is about. You don't have to be a veteran to join us and join our mission. Go to bitcoinveterans.org, sign up. We have a lot of signal channels to answer any questions you have. And we also have non-veteran channels as well. So please, if you haven't done it, go to the handle, go to the website and fill out that mission card and we can go ahead and get you set up. But Bob, do you have anything else you'd like to say, sir?
Don't shitcoin.
Absolutely. Do not shitcoin. It's horrible for you. It's you're going to get rugged. It's very unfortunate that people are still doing it. It's like putting a Band-Aid on your broken leg. I feel like we have to keep going, though. I feel like the show just kind of stopped right there.
Love it. I love it.
All right, tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Guys and girls, go out there. Have a fantastic day. Thank you for everybody tuning in. But like Bob said, don't shitcoin. Take care, everybody.